Bill Bennett's with us right now, though. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Look, we were just looking at some of the consumer matters that get on people's wick a little earlier with the Consumer NZ. What is the story with the mobile plans that the Commerce Commission is zeroing in on?
Well, what's happening at the moment stems back to about 4 years ago when Simon Bridges was the telecommunications minister, and he asked the Commerce Commission to take a look at competition in mobile phones. And at the time, the focus of that was on the business of virtual network operators, which we don't have many of in New Zealand, and there are reasons for that. They're not all necessarily to do with regulations on. I mean, our market does seem to be reasonably competitive with or without those virtual operators. But part of that that program involved collecting data, and from that, the Commerce Commission learned that people don't churn their mobile accounts as much as you might expect. And they also learned that part of the reason for that is that the plans, the mobile plans, are, well, they're not transparent. And they've never been transparent. I mean, it's just never been the case in mobile phones that the plan's been transparent. In fact, it was about 14 years ago when Teresa Gatton was the telecom CEO. She made a speech in Sydney which just wowed the audience when she told people that telcos use confusion as part of their marketing when it comes to selling phones. And she said, you know, she went on to justify it. That's how they managed to keep prices high and how they managed to keep it as a high margin business and so on. When she made that speech, she said, well, we kind of know the game's up and it's not going to be able to go on for much longer. Well, that was 14 years ago. And you know, the mobile market has changed dramatically in that time. There's been a lot of reforms. You know, we no longer have to pay mobile termination rates. That means you don't have to pay more money to ring someone who's on a different network to the one you're on. You don't hear stories these days of people coming home from overseas with $18,000 roaming bills and so on. You know, a lot of the pain points have gone. But one of the pain points that just seems to persist with mobile phones is the confusion about the plans. And I've got a fabulous illustration. I was just checking this out this morning to see if my instincts on this were quite right, and they are. Spark and Skinny are effectively the same company. Skinny is a brand that's owned by Spark, and they both have plans that are called, now get this, the names are very similar, so I'm just going to have to read this. Spark has what it calls the Endless Mobile Plan, and it's $40 a month. Well, actually, it's $39.99, but that's another sort of marketing confusion thing which people do. But it's $40 a month in effect. Skinny has an Endless Data Plan, which is $36. Now, you think, looking at those two, well, the Skinny plan is cheaper, but it's not, because, well, it is cheaper, but it's not as much cheaper as you might imagine, because the Spark plan is $36 a month. The Skinny plan is $36 for 4 weeks. So you have 13 of those months a year. So it's not $40 a month versus $36 a month. It's $40 a month versus about $39 a month. And that's the kind of confusing thing that goes all the way through mobile phone plans. And it's not just the plans themselves that are a bit confusing. Consumers don't necessarily have access to the information they need about their own usage to make sure they've got the right plan. Now, the phone companies, I mean, we'll come on in a moment to the phone company's response to the Commerce Commission, but one of the things they say is they do make that information available to their customers. Well, they sort of do and they sort of don't. I mean, if you go to the apps, the mobile phone apps, you can see how much mobile you used in the last couple of months, 2 or 3 months. But that's not quite good enough, because if I give myself as an example, I might use so much this month and so much next month, and then I go to Wellington for a conference and I use 4 or 5 times as much mobile as I would in a normal month. And you know, that stuff will drop off the map if you're looking at the app to figure out your usage. So it's actually quite hard to go back and look at the last year's usage to check that you're on the right plan. All of this, of course, is, you know, in the context of the mobile phone industry or the phone industry. And I'm sure the guy from consumer or the people from consumer would have told you this, that telecommunications is probably the biggest area of consumer complaint still in New Zealand.
We were talking about other stuff, but I do know they had a statement out last week when this came out. Here's the other thing. Can you just clarify, are we talking mainly prepay or is it plans as well?
It's across the board. And that's an issue because the price difference between prepay and postpay isn't always, it's not transparent. The price structures, but I mean, they're transparent in as much as it's all published and you can go and check them, but it's not transparent in as much as you can easily make comparisons to find the optimum use for yourself. But here's the thing, Catherine, you can do exactly that with say, for example, the electricity industry. My electricity company, probably 18 months or so ago, I got an email from my electricity company saying, we looked at your plan and your usage on your, of your electricity, and we decided that you're on the right plan for your style of usage. And that looks like it might be the sort of thing that would be required of the electricity business by the regulator, but it's not. Electricity companies do that off their own bat because they feel that by looking out for their customers' best interests, that gives them a competitive advantage over other electricity companies.
Well, it also makes you less inclined to go to one of those switching websites and have a look, doesn't it?
Yes, of course, confusion is
a marketing tool. Confusion is a marketing tool, which was, I think, Theresa Gatting's infamous words, is just a moment of honesty, frankly. This stuff is absolutely rife across all these products. They know many of us don't know a megabit from a gigabyte or whatever. I was just saying to my colleague here, I've got like preposterous amounts of data on my home scheme that I know I'll never, ever, ever use. But then when you come and say, can I tailor make this and lose all this, you end up not saving any money anyway, because I suspect they know I'll never use it. So they chuck it in for free for my package and make it look good. And as soon as I try and tailor make something, I'll end up paying the same anyway. Am I being too cynical?
No, you're not, because the analysis, I mean, the Commerce Commission analysis, they looked at millions of points of data of people's bills and so on. And they found that a quarter of customers pay $11.60 too much each month. That's more than they need to pay each month to cover their usage. But 7% are paying $48.65 too much a month. So people are spending too much a lot of people are spending too much. I mean, of course, you know, you could argue that the vast majority aren't spending too much, and that would be true. But that's not the point here. The point is you can't make that decision for yourself because you don't have easy access to the information to be able to, you know, figure out if you are paying too much or not.
What's a particularly infuriating, Bill, and I can feel my blood pressure rising, you're not helping with thank you. This is just one of those topics. It's just like you can hit a button and it happens. But I was just reading the stuff story on this. Thank you for the links you sent. And Tim Barnett, who's the head of FinCap, which is the financial lobby group, really, in many ways, information group and also lobby group. You need phone access. And a lot of the prepaid customers in particular will be people of very limited means who are trying to, trying to get what they absolutely have to have and pay as little as possible for it. And this can end up being a real bill, as can the electricity for that matter, a real bill that is unavoidable and has a real impact on some of our neediest households.
Yeah, and I'm going to take that further, right? There's been a lot of talk, and I think I may have even mentioned this on the programme, about the telcos are concerned that with the end of COVID and the end of wage subsidies and so on, they face a wall of unpaid phone bills. Well, you know, part of the reason they might face a wall of unpaid phone bills is because people are looking at their phone bills and thinking, you know, what's going on here? You know, I'm not saying they're to blame for that problem. I'm saying that it's all of a piece. And I think part of the issue is they haven't really been able to think in terms of using this as a way to better serve their customers. It just doesn't occur to me. In fact, if anything, we all have that sort of niggling feeling that Theresa Gatton confusion thing is still, somewhere deep and buried deep in their marketing plans. And you're quite right about not being able to negotiate, because I rang the phone company I was using about 18 months ago when I looked to change plans. And I intuitively figured out what we're talking about now, that I was paying too much. And of course I was, I definitely was. And one of the things, when I spoke to the call center about changing my plan, the woman said to me, worst of it, I can't remember the exact numbers, but she said something like, your plan includes Spotify, that's worth $10 a month. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. I never, ever, ever listened to Spotify. Could I have the same plan for $10 a month, this, and not have Spotify? Oh, no, that's not an option.
They give you free stuff to make it look better, but you don't lose the free stuff. And this is the thing, if you try, and good luck actually getting through to call centre, well done you, let alone getting the same person twice. And I do not want to knock the call centre people. I think they are the victims in the way this whole goddamn system works at the moment, actually, because they cannot actually, they do not have the power to solve the problems their customers come to them with. When it comes to the consumer side of things, they can when it comes to fixing faults. But when it comes to you trying to get what you want and a sensible deal, they simply do not have the power, in my experience anyway, particularly with outsourced call centres. So I certainly don't blame them. I don't know actually how they tolerate some of the abuse they must get. But as soon as you try to tailor-make, as soon as you try to do something that makes sense to you, you will be stymied one way or another. You'll take one thing out and something else won't be as cheap, which brings us back to confusion as a marketing tool. And you just get the sense, you are customer X in this kind of category. This is what we're going to get out of you, however we put it together.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Telecommunications Commissioner, Tristan Gilbertson, he's put the ball in their court. He's asked the telcos to come up with proposals about what they plan to do about this to make things better. And so far, there's been a mixed response so far. I mean, there's been Spark issued a press release welcoming the Commerce Commission's actions. But in general, there's been a bit of niggling, picking holes in some of the methodology. But that's legitimate. That's what companies will do in these circumstances. But it's actually missing the point. The point is they've been found wanting in a very important area. Now, you've got to remember here that we have some of the best telecommunications in the world. I mean, about a month ago, the GSMA, which is the organization which looks after mobile phones worldwide, it's like a club of all the mobile phone companies worldwide, New Zealand was named as the third best mobile operator, mobile market in the world. I think Australia is number one. I think Singapore's number two, and we're number three. And we've been number three for 6 years. So we're doing very well. But there are things that we could do that are just better. And in fact, the other way you could look at that is, if we're number three in the world, and yet we're still using this confusion as a marketing tool, then the rest of the world must be pretty bloody awful.
Let's talk about the other extreme of things. If you've got a spare $3,500, why wouldn't you buy a Samsung folding phone? What's it got? Does it do my hair? Does it cook dinner? What's it got that I need?
No. What it does is it's they call it a folding phone, but really it's like a iPad mini. It's like a tablet which you can fold and put in your pocket, and that's pretty much it. It's the camera isn't particularly brilliant for a mobile phone. It's not amazingly powerful for a mobile phone, but it does fold, and when you see it, I mean, I had one for a week, and it's seductive. It's really nice, but it's not essential, and it's hard to justify the price tag. I just checked out on the Apple website. You can buy 5 Apple iPad Minis, which are the same size, for the price of a Galaxy Fold. So you could leave one in every place. You could leave one in your car, at work, and at home, and so on, and you still come away with money to spare. So it's really expensive. Now, the interesting thing was I went to see Samsung, who did a little product demonstration. And these are all a bit strange in the COVID era, where they used to have like press conferences and someone would stand up at the front with a PowerPoint presentation and a couple of videos and show all the features of the phone. And then journalists would be able to sort of get hands on the phones and so on. That's how it worked. This time it was one-on-one presentations. And during the presentation, it was more like a sort of a chat than a presentation. It came up that Samsung is selling this as a luxury item. They reckon that there will be people that want to be seen with a phone that costs $3,500. I mean, you wouldn't want to be walking through an underpass in a dodgy part of a major city with a phone worth $3,500 showing it off. But, that's pretty much where they're going with this. And that's a shame, because there's something quite futuristic about this. And really, I think this is the start. It could be the start of something quite important. Samsung says they have other folding products on the way. And there's talk. I mean, I did some research. There are plans, not necessarily from Samsung, to build laptops which fold up in the same way. So you'll be able to fold these things up and put them in your pocket. And, when you get on the train, you can just pull it out of your pocket and read it like you'd read an iPad. That's pretty neat. But I don't think it's $3,500 worth of pretty neat.
Okay, fair enough. I won't be in the queue for one, I must admit. I still wish I could revive my old Nokia, but unfortunately we're several Gs past it working anymore. look, thanks very much, Bill. We were going to have a look at TikTok. Should we leave that for another time, do you think? Or has it reached a crunch point, really?
There's a bit of a crunch going on, because it seems to have been sold, but I think that story is going to run for a bit yet. What's happened really is it's just become intensely political, and Donald Trump decided to sell it to Oracle because Oracle's CEO is one of his supporters, rather than selling it to Microsoft, who's been a bit critical of Trump in the past. And I think but it's all about politics and nothing to do with technology, really.
We'll pick up next time. Thanks very much, Bill Bennett.